Now, I'm going to ask you to read with me, please, tonight in John's Gospel and in chapter number 1. The Gospel of John and chapter number 1. And we'll just read the one verse together, verse number 29. Verse 29 says, "The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Or maybe a better understanding is beareth away, or taketh away, the sin of the world. Now, God always blesses the public reading of his precious word. I was just thinking during the week, I actually can remember learning this verse as a little boy in Belfast at the age of 5. I don't know whether there's anybody in the meeting tonight at the age of 4 or 5 or 6. But I remember learning this verse off by heart. Was able to say it to my Sunday school teacher. Was able to say it at the children's meeting. But thinking back, you know, I didn't really understand it. 5 years of age. Fast forward 9 years. 9 plus 5 is 14. And this verse came before me again. And I was starting to understand I was a sinner. Oh yes, my mum and dad were saved. My grandparents were Christians. But I wasn't saved. And just at the age of 14, just about a week before my 14th birthday, I understood the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He took my place at the cross of Calvary. He was nailed by hands and by feet to the old rugged cross. And he took away, yes, the sins of the world, but he bore my sins in his own body upon the tree. I just want to think about this verse for a few minutes this evening. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. It's lovely as we read through John's Gospel chapter number 1, and I think there's, 51 verses in it. There's actually 11 titles, or 11 different names and titles given to the Lord Jesus Christ in one chapter. And John, the Gospel writer, he pens words like the Word, and the Word became flesh. He speaks of Jesus, the Son of God. He speaks here about the Lamb of God. And he gives also, he mentions the King of Israel, the Son of God, the Son of Man, and many beautiful titles about the Lord Jesus Christ. But we want to just think for a few moments about the Lamb of God. You know, it's lovely driving down there even this morning and this evening and other days as well. And just to see the little lambs in the field. And they're hopping about and they're skipping about in all their innocence. And all their timidness, and in all their meekness. And that tells us something about the Lamb of God. It tells us something about the one that we present in the Gospel tonight, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the Bible reminds us, as John, the forerunner, John Baptist, it says it was the next day that he saw Jesus coming unto him. And he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." The day before, he had been talking to the Jews, and the Jews had been asking him, "Who are you? Are you Elijah? Are you some sort of a prophet?" John Baptist said, "No, I am not the Christ." And then he said, "There's one coming after me that is preferred before me, because he was before me." You see, John Baptist was saying the Lord Jesus Christ had no beginning. Yes, he was born in Bethlehem, but it goes back further than that. He is indeed the eternal Son of the eternal God. And this lovely title that is given to him here, he says, look, behold, there must have been hundreds that day walking on the banks of the River Jordan. But John Baptist, he says, look, fix your eyes, gaze upon him. This is the Lamb of God. This is God's Lamb. Yes, he was a prophet. He was a priest. He was a king, but they were expecting someone to come that was going to save them. And they were expecting some great prophet. But John says to them, behold, the Lamb of God, which beareth away the sin of the world. This would be a good meeting tonight. If some little boy or girl, or some older friend that has heard the gospel for year after year, meeting after meeting, maybe sat in series of gospel meetings, would just get a look by faith to the cross of Calvary, and to see the Lamb of God, that one who was innocent, that one who was without sin, that one who took upon himself holy humanity. He became a real man. He was God manifest in the flesh. And for someone just to get a look to him tonight, get past the person sitting beside you, get past the speaker, just get a gaze and your eyes fixed on him. This word behold has the idea of viewing him with wonder, with understanding, that this is the one who Paul told Timothy, that this is Christ Jesus who came into the world to save sinners. John Baptist says, this one that's coming after me, he says, I'm only the forerunner. I'm only preparing the way. I'm not even worthy to stoop down and to take the laces or take the shoe latchet from off his shoes. I'm not worthy because of the greatness and the grandeur of the Lamb of God. This is him. This is the Lamb of God that's going to take away the sin of the world. It's the only Lamb. It's the only one who's possible. There was none other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. It's only Christ can save you. The tremendous work that he did at the cross of Calvary, when he put away sin by the mighty sacrifice of himself. And oh, how we love to trace the lovely character of Christ. Never forget, he was a real man. We were reminded this morning at the breaking of bread, he knew what it was to be weary. He sat there in John chapter 4 at the sycamore well. Why was he sitting? He was tired. We read in another part of the Bible, he was sleeping in the hinder part of the ship. The Lord Jesus sleeping. Why was he sleeping? Because he was a real man. He was weary. We come to John's Gospel chapter 11 and we see him at a funeral. And he's standing at a grave. It's the shortest verse in the Bible. It says that Jesus wept. He was a real man. He started to cry. He was sorrowful. Sorrowful. He knew what it was to be misunderstood, to be misrepresented. Lovely character, his meekness, his submissiveness. He came not to do his own will. He didn't come to do the things that he wanted to do. He came to please his Father God. And that meant going to the cross. That meant him going to the cross and suffering for you in Ballyclare Gospel meeting tonight. That all these boys and girls and young people might be in heaven and saved by the precious blood of Christ. As we trace the Old Testament and we think of the Lamb, and our minds could go away back to Allah, but I'm thinking of the Lamb promised. You remember that story of Abraham and Isaac? And it was all pointing forward to the Lord Jesus Christ and the Lamb of God. And here's Abraham and Isaac and the two servants, and they're getting a little donkey and they're going on a journey. And after a little while, Abraham says to the two servants, he says, now, you just wait here and you stay here with a little donkey. Abraham and Isaac were going to the mountain. And why were they going to the mountain? They were going to make a sacrifice. A few more steps along the way, Isaac stops. And he looks at his father and he says, Abraham, to his father Abraham, he says, could you answer me a question? We've got the knife. We've got the fire. We've got the wood. We've everything for the sacrifice, for the burnt offering. But where is the lamb? Abraham takes his son. I can see him putting his arm around him. He says, God, God will provide himself a lamb. And it was all pointing forward to the coming into the world of the Lord Jesus Christ. We could go to Exodus 12 very quickly and we could think not only of the lamb promised, but we see the lamb pictured. Every family, they were to take a lamb on the 10th day. They were to keep it until the 14th day. They were to watch it. They were to look at it. They were to make sure that this lamb was absolutely spotless. It has no injuries. Speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, he was eternally holy. He was externally holy. He was internally, absolutely holy, without sin, the perfect sacrifice. And John Baptist here says, behold, the Lamb of God, that little lamb in Exodus 12, they were to keep it. And on the evening of the 14th day, they were to slay it. They were to take the knife. They were to kill the lamb. And they were to take the blood in the little basin. The father of every house would have gone out to the front door and he would have put the blood on the cross piece, the lintel, and on the two side posts, and he would have applied the blood. God promised, the pledge of heaven, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. All pointing forward to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we come to Calvary, saw the lamb promised and the lamb pictured. We see the lamb punished. AD 33, a Friday morning, about 9 o'clock in the morning. And John records in his gospel, John chapter 19, he bearing his cross, he went forth. The lamb of God's providing. His only well-beloved son. We all learned it in Sunday school, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, maybe you in the meeting tonight, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Christ, the flawless one, the sinless one, the crimeless one, the perfect sacrifice. Peter reminds us in his epistle, we're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, or the currencies of this earth, the dollar or the euro. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, foreordained before the foundation of the world. God had all this planned in eternity past, that boys and girls in Ballyclare and men and women around the world, that they wouldn't be lost in a lost sinner's hell forever. And we were reminded in the prayer meeting, hell is forever. And the lake of fire, there's no coming back. It's forever. That's what makes this meeting so serious tonight. And to think that the work of the cross is finished. The Lamb of God, which taketh away, which beareth away the sin of the world. And when the Lord Jesus Christ was on the cross, 700 years before, a man called Isaiah, guided by the Spirit of God, he wrote this. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. He was led as a lamb to his sacrifice that he gave. He gave himself. He shed his own precious blood. The Bible makes it very, very clear. Without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sins. The Lord Jesus Christ willingly and voluntarily, he offered himself without spot to God. Just at the end of that 6 hours, that penultimate cry, the sixth cry from the cross, it is finished. The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. I don't think I need to come to remind the boys and girls and all of us tonight. The Bible is so clear. There is no difference. You might live in a big house. You might be the best little person at school. You might be the best neighbor in Ballyclare. Most respectable. Remember this, where it's no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the Lord Jesus Christ is the bearer of sins. He was the one that suffered the torments of Gethsemane and the torments of Calvary and that awful suffering that we couldn't even describe to you tonight. You think about those big crown of thorns crushed into his lovely brow. And those soldiers, they hurled the abuse at him and they laughed at him and they scorned him. Even the man on the cross, he said, if you're the Christ, come down from the cross. Thank God he didn't come off the cross. He endured the cross. He despised the shame. He suffered, he bled, and he died. Christ also hath once suffered for sin. The just for the unjust. Why? That he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh and made alive by the Spirit. Jesus is alive tonight. And then I wonder, John Baptist says, behold, view him with wonder. The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He became our Savior. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He became our substitute. He took our place. We should have been there. We are all sinners. We need a Savior. We need somebody to take the judgment of God against sin. And he became our willing sacrifice. Oh yes, for years and years and years, God's method of people approaching God for their sins was to bring a sacrifice and to bring all those offerings. Now grace and truth has come through Jesus Christ, and he's the Savior of the world. He wants to be your Savior in the meeting tonight. And if you come into the meeting and you're not saved, and maybe you come here every Sunday night, and maybe you plan to come back again next Sunday, behold, now is accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And it's very, very personal. Your mum or dad can't be saved for you. Or some friend can't help you. It's your simple, personal faith in Jesus Christ. You see, the sacrifice of Calvary, it was enough for God. Remember that story in Exodus 12? When I see the blood on the door, I will pass over you. The judgment will not come unto you. And the blood of Calvary and the blood of the Lamb of God was first for the eye of God. And God said, it's enough. Somebody says, how do you know it was enough? Jesus has died. He's dead. Christ died for the ungodly. How could it be enough? He was buried. The third day he rose again. According to the Bible, it was enough for God. And the righteous justice demands of God had been met in all its totality by the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. And the great question of your sin that's going to keep us out of heaven was answered by the Lamb of God when he died upon the cross. It's enough for God. Here's the big question. Is it enough for you? I'm glad as that little boy, just a week before my 14th birthday, it was enough for me. I didn't understand very much. You would understand that. At that age, but I understood this, that there was a man called Jesus, the Son of God, who loved me, gave himself for me. He took my place and all my sins, and he took them upon himself. He bore the burden to Calvary. He gave his life. He shed his precious blood, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The work is finished. Would you be willing to trust the Lamb? See that Lamb, the Lamb of God? He died. He sacrificed. He gave his life upon the cross. Would you be willing to trust him this evening? That Lamb is risen. That Lamb has been glorified. And the Bible tells us in Revelation, there stood a Lamb as it had been freshly slain. What does that tell me? It tells me that when all the Christians get home to heaven, and when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back again, and we meet the Lord in the air, and we're going to be with him, and we're going to be like him for all eternity, what a day that will be. Are you ready? The Lord Jesus still bears the marks of Calvary in his hands, freshly slain. And the spear wound in his side, and those beautiful feet, with his nail-pierced feet, still bears the marks of Calvary. I wonder, will it be a reminder to us all? For all eternity, those of us who are saved, home in heaven, I wonder, will it be a reminder? There's countless millions there already, and they're rejoicing around the Lamb and around the throne, and they're singing praises to him because he is the Lamb of God that took away the sin of the world, and their salvation vast, full, and free. And it's to the whosoever will. If you don't know this verse, learn it tonight before you go to bed. And I know the boys and girls probably do know it. But just think of the truth that's in it. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away or beareth away the sin of the world. It's faith in Christ and in Christ alone. It's in a person. It's not in works. It's not in paying. It's not in praying. It's not about getting more Bibles or getting cleaning up your life. It's faith in Christ, the Lamb of God, the one who took away your sins and my sin and the sin of the world. But the responsibility on each of us tonight before we leave the meeting in a couple of minutes is, what am I going to do with Jesus? Just a story in this ear, out the other ear, off home, don't know. All heaven is waiting. Just right now, in a few moments, as we sing the hymn, remember the Lord's coming. Death is on our track. You could be saved tonight. It's available. It's a free gift. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord, the Lamb. Let's pray together. Our Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank thee for the eternal, precious word of God. We thank thee that we have it in our own mother tongue, that we're able to learn it off by heart. We pray, our Father, that someone this evening might not have their ears closed, as it were, but would listen to hear the voice of God and the Spirit of God. That the Spirit of God might do his own unique work, convicting, convincing of sin, convincing everyone in the meeting that we need a Savior and that we need to trust Christ. We just pray for thy rich blessing upon all that have gathered. And thank thee for the attention and the attendance of all, and pray that tonight there might be even news of salvation. We commend the meeting to thee and pray for thy parting blessing in the Saviour's worthy and precious name.